today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
I can still do everything I used to, but this body is restricting me. And the more it restricts me, the more I look forward to just shedding it, really, and going to be with the Lord. This body gives way. The body dies, but the spirit, you do not. There's an eternal destination, one of two. People don't believe in the spiritual, supernatural things, and yet they get some kind of invisible signal and receive it on their devices. Look, there is a supernatural. There is a life after this that you don't see. And we're called to live for that life. But what is that life? Well, that's why we read the scriptures, to know what that life is all about.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
56B. In today's teaching with Pastor Troy, Jesus shows his disciples what their Messiah must suffer in the days ahead. Peter, who just professed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, in the next breath completely gets it wrong in his response. Jesus' rebuke is a strong reminder of Satan's influence in our lives. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 22, with today's study.
So he comes in and he does a work in you, and he begins to change things. That's the part that freaks people out. Oh, I didn't sign up for that. Don't change me. Just give me something good. But he says, I will. But it comes through change. It comes through the cross. Dying to your old ways, which were destructive, selfish, all about you. But now I'm trying to build in you something that's all about me. And he's constantly doing that work in those who belong to him. Peter didn't understand all that. And so look at Peter's response, verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Now, apparently all the disciples hear is the suffering and dying part. They didn't hear the, "I'm going to be raised." Otherwise, I would have thought, raised? That's crazy, man. That's crazy, Lord. That's awesome. How's that going to happen? But they didn't hear that. Their ears, selective hearing. You know about that, right? Selective hearing. You only hear, you attach to the one thing that you heard. I can't get over it. I can't get, you said this. I said millions of things, and that was just a tiny little thing. But I said so much more, and the context would have told you what I meant with that. But in the heat of arguing and in the heat of listening through our own filters, we hear things wrong sometimes. And scriptures tell us about be careful how you hear. Peter didn't hear all that well. And so he says, he pulls Jesus aside and says, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, can you imagine that? Jesus is telling you what's going to happen. Whoa, 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 whoa. Jesus, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to you. No, I don't know why Peter would tell Jesus that's not going to happen. We know that the disciples were pretty unclear of what was going on anyway. They were kind of clueless. He kept saying, I'm going to die. Yeah. Who's going to get to sit at your right hand, Lord? You know, no, you don't understand. I'm going to die. Yeah. Let's argue about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They just couldn't get it. You know, just constantly trying to figure out the plush life that is the kingdom living. But Jesus kept telling them. And now Peter's a little confused by what Jesus is saying again. The disciples don't really get it until after he's raised. Then the scriptures say, after he's raised, Jesus comes to them and it's like, they start going, ah, he said this was going to happen. He did say this was going to happen. So the hindsight being 20/20 was true for the disciples, just as it is often with us. But Peter, maybe he's thinking Jesus is talking a little negative. We just had a great conversation over there. I mean, I said, you're the Christ, the Messiah. And now you're kind of talking down. You're bringing us down, Jesus. So he says, bring it up, man. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring us the good stuff. But no. Maybe he wanted to show his loyalty to him. Jesus, this won't happen to you because We're here. We got your back. I will never let this happen, not knowing that they would all flee in that moment. And Peter himself would deny him three times. Maybe he thought he was on a roll. I mean, Peter was doing a pretty good job. He answered the question right. I mean, that was such a big question that Jesus even told him, look, that didn't even come to you. I mean, that was divine revelation, Peter. You were on, man. Come on, man. Give me another one. Give me another one, Jesus. And so Jesus is coming down and he tells him this, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. Peter's like, you got Peter here, man. That's not going to happen to you, Lord. This is a test. You're testing me, right? Well, that wasn't a test, Peter. I'm telling you the truth. And so here's his response. By the way, I think we can identify with Peter. Some of us are actually terminally afflicted with the idea that we know best, right? Someone says something, the scriptures say something, maybe even the Lord brings someone along to encourage or speak some truth into our lives, but I think I've got it figured out. Yes, I need help in 90% of my life, but you're speaking about the 10% I've got managed. When the truth is, sometimes the 10% we think we have managed is messing up the 90% that's out of control. And so we need to really let go of everything and let God speak to whatever percent He wants to, because He knows how to fix things. Don't ever think you know more than Jesus. Don't ever think you've got any area under control, because He can show you fast. You want to control it? All right, let's see how that works for you. And then we need to let it go. So Peter takes him aside, doesn't necessarily hear all that Jesus said, apparently, but look at Jesus' response, verse 23. He turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." I mean, you can understand the rebuke here, right? But get behind me, Satan? I mean, Peter's probably thinking, is it my breath? I mean, is it that bad? What do you mean, Satan here? Is it? Here's why he says Satan. First of all, he's not calling him Satan. Second, he's not telling him he's filled or possessed by Satan. Third, he's not telling him Satan's controlling him. What he's saying is this: what you're saying is very, very in line with, almost as if I can sense the influence of Satan himself in the world because of what you're saying. See, Jesus had dealt with Satan. You remember the temptations? One of the temptations was, you want a kingdom? I'll give it to you. You don't have to go to the cross. I will give it all to you. Just worship me. Just lift me above you. That's all I want. Jesus said he could not do that. He would not do that. You only worship God. And so there's this mindset. Take it the easy way. Go the easy way. Skip the cross. And though Peter probably has a really good heart in this, he's being influenced by the world. Worldliness has crept into his thinking here. And he is beginning to speak things that, though they sound good, and though they're reasonable, and though they may be heartfelt, they're not true. And from Jesus' perspective, it looks a lot like Satan's involved. And I imagine there's a lot more of that around right now than we could shake a stick at, then maybe we could even recognize. Not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Jesus came into the world to die for sinners, because the wages of sin is death. So he died. He paid that wage. And for Jesus to lose focus on that goal, that mission, would be to become, well, consumed with the things of the world. Worldly minded. Now, how would that look? Well, he could have thought, you know, the disciples, really, I really feel bad for them. They really need me. They don't understand. They may not be able to make it without me around. They're not all that strong, and they're certainly not all that sharp. So I'll just hang around longer. I'll make it easier for them. Look, from Jesus' perspective, that wasn't as important for him to do as to go to that cross, to die on that cross, to leave them, and to let the Holy Spirit come upon them. Because in that state, they could not change the world. But filled by his Holy Spirit, and oh, they needed to be, then they could. What's the difference in a Peter who denies Jesus three times and the Peter who proclaims and even gives his own life in defense? The Holy Spirit of God and probably some failures in his life that he said, you know what? I don't want that to happen again. I want to honor a zeal for the Lord and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's something that we all need. It's the new man inside of us that we need to feed and let him grow and direct us in that way of holiness and righteousness and right thinking, because it's so confusing down here. What's right? What's wrong? What's good? What's wicked? My goodness, it's too confusing. But when you set your eyes on the Lord and you walk and you just say, look, I want to follow him. That's all I know. It becomes very clear. Things become very clear and very simple. Jesus couldn't lose focus and get caught up in the things of the world. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Jesus is saying to Peter, you're focusing on the wrong things. That's why Jesus, the scriptures tell us, set your mind on things above. Jesus said this. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Seek those things first. And if you got any time after that, if you really seek them with all your heart, you don't have a whole lot of time. But if you do, well, then there you go. But seek those things first. Do that first. Peter's worried about death. You're not going to die. We're not going to let you die. But Jesus wants him to look beyond death. So that's the problem for us. The way we view death, the way we view life. We look at it on this timeline that they teach us in school. Not a bad thing. That's the way you learn, right? But there's just something about that experience that helps us only think in terms of how long my life is, and I want to get everything done before the, you know, little ending here. And so we're always wanting to accomplish this before I die. I want to get this done before I die. I got to get this done. I got to have... And then you get saved. Well, I want to have this happen before he comes back, and I want to do this before. And we're still thinking like the world, but now we just include the rapture in it. That's worldly thinking. I got to accomplish all this stuff. No, you don't. You got to accomplish what God wants you to. And he will tell you what that is, and he will lead you. And it'll be the most exciting life you've ever lived. Not everyone will understand it. It'll cost you something to follow Jesus. It just does. But it will be the one thing that fixes everything in your life. The world will still be falling apart around you, trust me. And you'll still come across trials. Death and illness still exist, even to the saved and unsaved alike. We're dying of something. But you will have joy. You will have purpose in life. You have a zeal and a love for God. We need to be mindful of the things of God. You know, D.L. Moody said this. Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall have gone up higher, that is all. Out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the Spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit will live forever. I watched a woman die. There was a woman in our fellowship. It was a godly woman. Her name was Barb. Some of you may have known her if you were here when we were in the funeral home in the theater. And she died, I mean, in a way that just glorified God. She had cancer. She had breast cancer, and she overcame the breast cancer. But later on down the road, it massetized into her brain and her spine and just took over. And she died. But being a part of her life through that time, I saw God in ways I don't know if I could at any other time. Because God was just with her in this sense of peace about it. His direction and the time for her life was about at an end, and He was using her even more during this time than before. I remember one time she called. She didn't want people to come and to see her because of the medication. She had swollen up and didn't look the same as she did. And this is in the hospice care at her home. And so one day I think it may have been actually an email. I talked to her and emailed her. And she told me she wanted me to come, and she wanted to worship God, and she wanted to take communion. She just felt this burden. I want to take communion. And so I go, I take the communion over there, I take my guitar, and I just worship. And I'm almost choked up because I can't even hardly lead the worship. And she is worshiping God. It's like, I look at her and it's like, she's there. Does she like see you? It was just so real. And she was never downbeat. She never lost anything. She understood that, you know, inside I can still do everything I used to, but this body is restricting me. And the more it restricts me, the more I look forward to just shedding it, really, and going to be with the Lord. This body gives way. The body dies, but the spirit, you do not. There's an eternal destination, one of two. People don't believe in the spiritual, supernatural things, and yet they get some kind of invisible signal and receive it on their devices. Look, there is a supernatural. There is a life after this that you don't see. And we're called to live for that life. But what is that life? Well, that's why we read the scriptures, to know what that life is all about, what that means for us, and how to live and how to follow Jesus. We need to be mindful of the things of God rather than the things of men. And Barb, the picture I got in watching her death, there was a period of time when she was in a coma and someone asked me this sincere question, why would God allow this? And I say, God does allow. I mean, obviously He can stop anything. That's the premises for the whole question. God did allow it because He could stop it. So I have to admit, He could have stopped it. But what He does is He allows choice to play out, sin in the world to play its course, and we're affected by that as well. Those who are His are separated from those who are not. And so we're affected. But in this time, her death was not a horrible thing for her. I'm sure there were pain. I mean, but you go through that in life, more so as you're getting older. You groan for heaven. But when she was in that coma state, it was as if like God just gave me this picture of what it looks like. And it's like this. Have you ever been in an airport? When you're in an airport, you're in no man's land. You can't see your family who's in this city right here. You can't see them because you've gone through all the checks, right? You're in. Can't go anywhere. Now it's $9 for a soda. You know, you're in there. So you can't go anywhere, and you're stuck in this place waiting for your departure, your flight, right? Can't talk to those. I've already said my goodbyes. Even though I'm still here, I've said my goodbyes. And I'm waiting. But when my plane goes, I'm off. And sometimes in that state, you know, God is good. And if someone endures that airport time in this body before they go to be with the Lord for whatever reason, we don't know what God's doing in bringing people who would come and cry and talk about death and ask the questions why. We don't know what He's doing. I don't know His purposes, why He does all that He does and the way He does it. But I do know God is good. And that He does what He does for a purpose. And so for God's people, they don't see death the same way. And I know Barb, I mean, if you could say anyone enjoyed the process of death, but it was her perspective. She looked beyond this, and she looked to eternity. See, only if you can look beyond this life can you begin to live the way Jesus says we ought to live. You cannot do it by keeping your eyes on what you want in this world. You cannot do it. And we're going to talk more about that kind of life, following Jesus. But today, we need to understand Jesus had to die. He had to go to the cross. The entire Bible leads us to the cross. The Old Testament points us, it brings us to the cross. The New Testament points us back to the cross. God's roadmap for us. It doesn't lead to the cross, but it leads through the cross. Yes, we're looking at heaven, but we go through the cross. And he says, on your way, pick up your cross. Deny yourself and follow me. So many love who Jesus is, but they don't realize what he came to do. He came to change your life. Things that you want to hold on to. I have said, trust me, you guys see Pastor Troy. But there were times where I thought, if I do this, if I start living this way, if I stop this, I'm not going to be me anymore. I'm going to be, well, what you want me to be. Yeah, exactly. And it's been a hard process of letting God have me. I don't like people thinking that I'm weak. You know, you start becoming nice and compassionate and people think they can beat you up. I'm going to tell you right now. It's a sacrifice. It's one I've made. I wasn't just born nice, simple, easy, gentle. Well, he was born to be a pastor. No. I'm following Christ and he's made me who he wants me to be. And trust me, there's a lot more he wants to do in me. And you, he wants to change you. You're not going to be you. You're not going to be the old you. You're going to be the new you, the one he wants to make you into. And trust me, if you follow him with that, everything in your life will change and it will change for the better. And you think Christianity, walking in Christ, is boring? I can point to anybody's life who's followed him and they will tell you that it's not boring. It's more exciting than anything they've ever experienced. It's only when we begin to look beyond this life that we're able to see things that way, though, more clearly. That we're able to be mindful of the things of God. That's why the scriptures teach us that you need to die to yourself, deny yourself. Because there's a life in there if you have them. If you've been born again, that you live for. And he's not real noisy in the beginning. You got to feed him. You got to follow him. And be led by the Spirit of God. Salvation is more important to the Lord than comfort and long life in this world. A relationship with him is more significant than a relationship with that person you think you can't live without. A relationship with him is more significant than wealth and power. Building his kingdom in heaven and being busy about that is more rewarding than building any kingdom you could think of on earth. That's heavenly mindedness. That's being mindful of the things of God. We overcome sin by looking beyond the immediate satisfaction of the moment. And we look beyond, next week we'll talk about this, to the results. It leads to further devastation. It leads to further destruction. It leads to habits and addictions and all these things that ruin my life, but we just look at the good right now. And if we can start to look beyond those and even beyond death, it will change the way we live life. And then we will have that life that Jesus said, I came to give you. Life and life abundantly.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers